Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Oh, you glorified fry cook.
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
I love our music. Good morning, Stu. Good morning, Phil. And good morning,
Leanna.
What's your name again?
Leanna.
Leanna, yes. Hey, Leanna. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Welcome to the Sip and Chew Show. So we got somebody sitting in here learning, training. Charlie's not here. Charlie had a little surgery, so Charlie's is home getting well.
Yeah. Hopefully sleeping through this.
I hope he comes back uncranky. Is that what he had removed? He had this
the crank?
Had a new crank put in, so he's not so cranky. So anyway.
I didn't know that's possible. I probably need one of those.
And old curmudgeons need that, especially Golden Corral buffet eating, white Zinfandel drinking old cranky guys. So. But, I don't think, is there going to be any more Golden Corrals? What's Charlie going to do?
I don't know.
I think they got... I've heard that they're not going to be reopening them.
Well, they're posting ads for meat cutters.
Oh.
They're going to have to do their own butcher. That's a something. If you look in the one ads right now, the all grocery store chains are trying to hire meat cutters, butchers. Mm-hmm. And here's the reason why. Because we've had the overabundance of cattle and pork and chicken because mm-hmm. we're not processing them. Basically what they're doing is they're lopping off the head, bleeding them out, and freezing them. You know, just getting ready.
Yeah.
Well, when we completely reopen the processing plants, especially your Tysons and your Cargills and all of these really big, what we call big agro.
I mean,
everybody knows Big Farm.
Yeah.
They know Big Oil. Well, those are drops in the bucket compared to the power and money of big agro, which is Tyson and Cargill and Monsanto, who bought Little Bear Aspirin Company and changed their name to Bear so people wouldn't know they're Monsanto.
Ah.
But
clever
but
move.
They haven't had people in the processing facilities to break these things down, to turn this cow into steaks and chops.
Yeah.
And roast. And so what's going to happen is when we fully reopen, they're just going to be shipping these whole parts.
Yeah.
And grocery stores are having to go back to the old way and do their own butchering.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking for people right now. It is a great career.
Yeah.
It is. You're going to work weekends, mm-hmm. and you're going to work some holidays.
Yeah.
But you're probably going to be
retail.
Home. But you're probably going to be home by 4 o'clock every day. And
yeah.
That is unheard of. So.
Well, you know, you just brought back a memory for me
mm-hmm.
When I was a young lad and I worked at
Laurel, Mississippi?
No, here in Mobile, Alabama.
And Mobile.
I worked for Del Champs Stores, mm-hmm. and they used to – that. Here comes the cattle truck, you know, mm-hmm. and you had this – little track that went from the back door receiving all the way to the butcher, all the way to the meat department.
Right.
And they would hang those halves of cows mm-hmm. up on those hooks and carry them in. And that was a really, really cold room.
Mm-hmm.
And
you mean comfortable.
But we would go in there, we'd sneak in there, and we'd pretend we were Rocky and punching the cows. So
please don't.
When your steak was extra tender,
or you could thank us.
Yeah. But, yeah, those were the days. And, oh, my God. But back then, Del Champs was bringing a lot of their beef in from Argentina.
Which is the number one or number two producer of beef.
Well, I've been there, as you know, in the wine business. And what's the byproduct of beef? Leather.
Mm-hmm.
You get anything made down there cheap.
Right.
The process of feeding them was cheaper in Argentina than it was in the States at the time. And I guess
they just let them eat the grass.
Yeah. And they didn't fill them with these antibiotic feeds and stuff like that like they did here at the time. Hopefully, I love when I see some locally owned restaurant using local beef that's grass fed.
Right. And for an example of people who do that, it would be someone like Jeremiah Matthews at Southwood Kitchen that gets. uses local butchers,
yeah.
Snake River and folks like that. That I mean, he's getting Jeremiah's serving Wagyu beef, which is the bestest, as big as baddest beef in the world, and and it's being raised in Alabama.
Yeah.
So and there are a number of Wagyu ranches here.
Yeah, yeah. I have friends that are in the cattle business, and yeah, and even Lulu's. I understand Lulu's. They use all their meats or. Yeah. Produced locally.
Right. When I was running Bellacera, I used Evans Meats, which is based out of Birmingham, but they have a shop in Pensacola. And I just call them up, tell them what I need and how I want it done.
Yeah.
And it shows up to my door, you know, and if I needed 50 pounds of burger because I was going to turn those into 2-ounce sliders, they go, no charge, we'll press them into sliders for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I would get, 300 sliders ready to go that were – perfect certified Angus beef, 80-20 grind that day or the day before I served them.
That's service.
Yeah, and that's Evans Meats. And there are a number of local places like that. And we would be remiss not to mention our good friends at Hall Sausage and Wholesale Meats in Chickasaw.
They got a butcher, don't they?
Yeah, boy, do they. that wasn't the first time that I was ever in a meat house.
Uh-huh.
I think the first time I went in when I was 10 or 11,
mm-hmm.
I went with my mother to Stuckey's, which is, anyone from Sims, Wilmer, Fairview knows that that's butcher shop out on McCrary Road. Been going there since I was a kid. My parents would buy once a year a side of beef. They would go in and my dad would pick out which cow he wanted broken down how. We would come back in a week or so, a couple of days, whatever it took, and everything would be wrapped in butcher paper, labeled what it was, deep frozen for us to come home and put in our deep freezer. And we didn't have to buy beef again for a year.
Yeah.
And 6 months into it, we would carve out enough room that we'd go back to Stuckey's, get a whole hog, and have it broken down the same way. And it's so good. That breakfast sausage that Stuckey's did is not like any breakfast sausage you can get on the market. It's the texture is different. The flavor was different. Well, there was a lot less fat in it and byproduct. It was meat with just enough fat.
Right.
And it was just incredible, the sausage that we could get at Stuckey's. And we're going to see a return to that, if nothing else, for the first few months once we start rolling the economy again.
Yeah.
And beef prices are going to go up, folks. Don't be surprised if it's $25.
Hey, already gone up.
Yeah. And it no one is price gouging.
Bologna is looking good.
And it's, it's summertime. If those prices hurt you, go down to Cedar Point and snatch you a big redfish off.
There you go.
Black drum, not the greatest eating fish in the world, but it's not terrible. But you can snatch them out 30 pounds at a time.
You put enough seasoning on them.
Right, exactly. I bet our buddy Chris Sherrill would have some suggestions on
how to eat. I got a lot of friends who are fishing like crazy right now. But, my grandparents on my dad's side, they were cattlemen in Collins, Mississippi. You know what we got for Christmas every year?
What?
Half a cow.
I would take it.
I would too. Yeah. Half a cow every year. So, but I remember being a little kid again. Here I go back. I'm having these flashbacks.
Yeah.
Ellisville, Mississippi.
1912. Go on.
Ellisville, Mississippi. I went into my first butcher shop and went in there and I wanted to see how they butchered them. They took me back there. And I swear I slept with lights on till I was an adult. Because I was always into horror movies. And one of the movies I saw had to do with a butcher. And he was the butcher. He was butchering everybody up. But he ran a butcher shop. So when I saw that, I slept with lights on till I was an adult. So.
So. Yeah. Well, that's fantastic, Mike. I think probably... didn't go inside, but when I was about 6 or 7, we went somewhere, Mississippi or Alabama, just one of the counties north of here. I don't recall because it was that long ago.
And your long storied life.
Right, right. In my half a century here. But we went up there and it was Mr. Woodard used to have the insurance office in Sims. That's what there was one insurance company in Sims. And you went and saw
Mr. Woodard. He curved the market, didn't
he? And Anyway, he took us to one, but we didn't go inside. He just went inside. When he came back, it was his brother's own butcher house. We went on a Sunday when it was closed. He comes out with the best beef jerky.
Ooh. Oh, I got something to
343-0106 is the Callahan's Irish
Socializer's Club. And I ate there yesterday. I ate lunch there yesterday.
Excellent. Give us a call, folks, or textify.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Look, Mike, it's a Mobius strip.
That won't interfere with, I won't cut the sound off. Yeah, like a water hose.
I wonder if Chris Sherrill's ears are burning right now.
I don't know.
We was talking about him. I was telling Mike during the break and everyone in here that Heather's parents volunteer with the wonderful group One Meal.
Mm-hmm.
And after they got done with their service day Monday, her mom called them up and said, hey, we were donating some wonderful tuna and blue marlin today. Took care of everyone. We have a little bit left over. Would you guys like a little bit? And I'm like, well, yeah. So the yellowfin tuna was caught Monday morning. We ate it Monday evening. I mean, it was that fresh. It had been hit by a shark right before they got it out of the water.
Mm.
And so it had a beautiful little C-shaped a chunk missing out of the back of the tail. And so, you know, I know what to do with tuna.
Yeah.
That's not a problem. And what I did was very simple. Our friends at Playhouse Spices, you know, they make these wonderful spice blends that aren't like any other spice blend you're going to get anywhere. You've tried several of them.
Absolutely, yeah.
They've got a new one called Mobile Bay. And it's got like orange citrus in it and coriander, just a little bit of that. And I just coated that tuna steak with that. And put it on my cast iron skillet till I had a good sear, flipped it over for just a few minutes on the other side, a little bit of rice. And
what day was this?
It's Monday.
Oh, okay.
And the blue marlin, though, I start hitting people up. The people I know how to deal with any fish that comes out of the Gulf. So I hit up Chris Sherrill, hit up John Gibson up at the Wheelhouse and Op, Billy Highland.
Mm-hmm.
And they all pretty much steered me towards this Asian approach. So that's what I did. I put together a marinade of soy sauce and honey and a couple of other little things, oyster sauce, fish sauce, some ginger, some garlic. Put the blue marlin in that and just stuck it in the freezer until my buddies are ready to come over because we all want to try this blue marlin. It's a fish I've not tried. But I've had swordfish, and it's a very similar-looking fish, so maybe it'll taste the same. What do you think, Mike?
Well, I don't know. I don't have any in front of me. No one brought any for us to sample.
Well, it's in the freezer, man. You want some blue marlin sashimi?
I noticed that our buddy Tony Sawyer's place, Bob's Big Time Diner, Bob's Downtown Diner, corner Fat and Happy, there at Jackson and St. Francis, they've been serving up a lot of fish there, fried fish. As a matter of fact, the other day I didn't want breakfast. I wanted lunch, so I got me some fried fish, and it was delicious.
Okay, we have talked about this before on the show, that shrimp and grits is not a Gulf Coast dish. It didn't start here. It wasn't seen here until Food Network came along, quite honestly.
Yeah.
Nobody was serving shrimp and grits.
And that's been a while.
On the Gulf Coast until the late 90s. It is a southern dish. It's from the Gullah people who settled on the little islands there on the Carolinas. And it's a great dish. We both love shrimp and grits.
Oh, yeah.
What's traditional here is fish and grits. And it's breakfast.
Yeah.
Grits. Couple of fried brims, maybe some catfishes. I would like to see that on breakfast menus because I would order that in a heartbeat.
Well, you know, I see that. Yeah. You brought up brim, man. I grew up eating
bluegills.
Yeah. I grew up eating
now,
brim.
I'll tell you a place that does fish and grits.
Who?
Bailey's Seafood.
Yeah.
They, I believe it's Wednesday night. It's all you can eat fried mullet and grits.
No relation.
Yeah.
It's spelt differently.
Yeah. And, you know, and they're the inventor of West Indian salad and fried crab claws. The two quintessential foods of Mobile were invented at the same restaurant.
Absolutely.
Bellefontaine, Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Right there at the crossing.
Where the Bailey's is now was not where the original restaurant was. It was like 5 feet to the left. and then they build a newer one, and I think the older one has been demolished and is a gas station or something. But yeah, same lot.
Yeah.
And but yeah, they do fish and grits. And I would like to see more Gulf Coast restaurants do our Gulf Coast dish, which is fish and grits, and put it on that breakfast menu.
You know, another friend of ours.
We have a few.
We've cooked at their house before.
Miss Connie. People.
Miss Connie.
Yeah. Lovely lady.
Won't go into the rest of her name. Keep her anonymity private. Anyway, she
garnished with cinnamon.
Her daddy owned Nancy's.
Wonderful restaurant.
Well, not a great restaurant. I miss that restaurant. I used to love to eat lunch there and watch the big old ships pass up and down.
The view was wonderful.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
Right. The only problem, you know, was at ground level. It take about a couple of hurricanes to change that, change the floor design and layout. But yeah, I used to love to eat my fish there, fried fish.
Yeah.
And I've been seeing so many fish. Well, it's red snapper season.
Right. Snapper. Commercial has, you know, they've got free reign of the Gulf, but you've also got a lot of. Weekend warriors going out there and boy, spend 20 minutes and get their limit.
Thousands of dollars, 20 minutes. That sounds like something else.
Yeah. And honestly, if somebody wanted to say, hey, Stu, you want to go snapper fishing? I'd jump all over it. I love red snapper. I would love to catch red snapper. I've not done any blue water fishing. I grew up fishing Big Creek Lake and the Mobile Tensaw Delta. I've done a little bit of surf fishing. But my saltwater experience is mainly off a pier. I would love to experience some blue water, Sean. You know, because I know you got buddies, Sean. But and try it out. But
big
you,
pothole on Houston Street.
But it's so big. But the great thing about where we live, man, is there's so many bodies of water.
Oh yeah.
That I mean, there's no reason to go without protein. Now you may have to go without, you know, beef for a little while, pork, maybe even chicken, but you can go out there and snatch a couple of brim, boil you up some grits, and have a
brim forever.
Yeah, have a meal fit for a king.
You know, Ducky, who's a chef down there.
Yeah, at Bob's Downtown Diner.
Yeah, he fishes in ditches. So if you ever see some his pictures on Facebook, he's fishing in a ditch. And, you know, it's got old bicycle frames in it. Old rusted out grill somebody threw in there. But he loves fishing in them ditches. And he catches fish on them.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, tires.
Boil them before you fry them. That's what I'm saying.
I've been picking on Ducky for a long time. For a week. Well, I said a long time. For a week now. I was in there eating last Sunday for breakfast, and they were out of lettuce. So me being a smart butt, I text Tony, said, y'all out of lettuce.
And I cannot tell you how much our friends who own and run restaurants love it when their moronic friends send them a text message during their off time letting them know something like, you're out of lettuce.
Well, I didn't. What I was eating didn't require lettuce, but I was thinking of the other people.
Well, BLT is clearly.
And it
off
was 1 o'clock, so and they closed at 3, so I knew they weren't going to run out by a head of lettuce. I just had to be a smart ass.
You know. Yeah.
You can say that. 3 minutes. Can't you?
No.
I can't.
No, not now.
Oh, okay.
But sorry. Yeah, we need to get down to Tony's. I have been informed by a note that I found on the refrigerator that we are due a date night soon. So we're probably going to call someone, make some reservations. I saw Jim Smith at Hummingbird Way Friday night about 3 o'clock going, if you want to eat here tonight, you need to call quick because we're filling up. Folks, even if you're normally against the whole reservation thing, if you want to make sure you're not sitting in a parking lot 30 minutes waiting to go in a restaurant, call and try and make a reservation.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just it helps everyone. And if from a fine dining aspect, and we do not have fine dining by the general definition anywhere in Mobile. The closest thing is Ruth's Chris. Mobilians don't want that. That's why. There's not a market for true fine dining here. We like to wear our cargo shorts. Mm-hmm. We like to wear Bimini Bob shirts. We like to wear flip-flops everywhere. Fine dining, you're going to have to wear a tie.
Well, I remember
and so the days. It's not mobile tight.
I remember the days when Ruth's Chris, and it still is a very premier restaurant. One,
it is terrific.
The David and them have done a phenomenal job, brought in the right managers to make it happen. But people wanted to sit in the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Then when they got off work, they wanted to take their tie off and go sit in the bar.
Yeah.
And eat the same thing that people out on the dining room floor were eating.
Right. And then you see, that's what Mobile is good at, is we do upscale casual food wonderfully. And some of the great recommendations, Noble South, Dolphins. It goes on, places we've got that do that. But Mobilians have expressed, I don't want to have to put on a tie to go to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what fine dining is. If you're not wearing a tie, it's not fine dining.
Mm-hmm.
And they require it. Mobile's not that kind of people. But, boy, you can give us the exact same food and let us wear flip-flops, and we'll file in the door.
Well, believe it or not, I remember when Guy Fieri was doing the early days of Diner Triple D. He went to a biker bar in Miami, and the guy there just happened to be, you know, a chef, trained, very seasoned, trained chef, full of tattoos. He's worked at some of the biggest 3, 4, 5-star restaurants in the world, in Europe especially. And he came back and opened a fine dining, biker bar that serves foie gras and all the other fine dishes.
Yeah, and that style, we toyed with it in my days at Lucky.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pete has really been the first one to pull it off in Mobile Gastropub.
Yeah.
When we first mentioned it, Lucky, people like, it sounds like an ailment. And I'm like, no, but we're waking up. 343-0106.
What is that?
Callahan's Irish Social Club text line.
Hell bent for leather. I like that saying.
That's a good song.
It's a cool song.
That is a great
song. And I watch Grit TV a lot. And you know who I see on there every now and then?
Who?
Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood.
And guess what? Boy. Let's make his day.
Yeah, let's
make it. Today's his birthday.
Happy birthday, Clint.
Yes, the former mayor of Carmel, California.
Carmel by the Sea, California.
That's it.
And also, didn't he save a town in the Old West? Or, no, that was a different Clint Eastwood, wasn't it? Played by Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future 2 or 3. I think the last Back to the Future is when they went to the past, way back to the
80s. Yeah, that's the wrong movie.
Yeah, yeah.
That was High Plains Drifter.
You know, they
Drifter.
Shot all of those pretty much at the same time, the Back to the Future movies?
Probably.
Yeah.
But
they knew it was going to be a trilogy, and they just went ahead and knocked it out.
Yeah, the High Plains Drifters, he did save the town there. He painted the whole town red.
Yeah.
But they were like,
spaghetti westerns, that brings us back into food.
Everything we talk about has connected with food.
Yeah, well, rawhide, that's cattle. We were talking about cattle earlier.
And leather goods.
Yeah. I get caught in rabbit holes on YouTube all the time of various type. Last night when I got home from work, it was just, you know, the 5 or 10 minute highlight videos they put together after a football game, going back through Auburn's victories last year, and not the ones, you know, like Oregon and Alabama that were the more celebrated. I wanted to watch some of the other games, and just because I'm getting the mood.
You getting the fever?
Football, right? But
you getting the fever?
I fell into the one, and it just popped up, and it said, Triple X Dude Ranch, Wyoming. Okay, cool. I put it on, and it's essentially a 23-minute infomercial for this dude ranch. Which is the only dude ranch still allowed to operate within a national park in the U.S. right now.
Hmm.
So I'm watching this, and I'm going, I've always wanted to do a dude ranch. I tried to talk my parents into it when we were kids. We're going out to Yellowstone. Can we go to a dude ranch? And my mom and dad finally just said, baby, we grew up on a dude ranch. It's not a vacation to us.
Mm-hmm.
It's work. You know, we got up with the sun every day. And we worked outside until the sun went down.
I'm kind of with your parents on this.
Yeah. But so I'm watching the video, and it's the horse. It's right by the Grand Tetons, mm-hmm. which is, folks don't know, it's part of the Rockies. It's just south of Yellowstone. It's, I think it's seven peaks, and it's just stunning. When mm-hmm. you think of the Rockies and you think of those rock, you know, those crags of rock.
Where nothing but goats can live.
And they just come to a point, you know, that traditional. You're thinking of the Grand Tetons. Those are the pictures they take of the Rockies where it's just that stark thing. And it's just stunning. It's about $2,200 a person for a week out there.
And work.
So I play it for Heather, and the whole time she's looking at it going, yes, this is what I've wanted all my life. So now we have a life goal, man. We're going to save up to go to a dude ranch in Wyoming. And she goes, so basically I can get up every morning, get on a horse, and just horse ride? Until the day's over?
No.
Yeah.
No.
With meals?
You got to work.
No.
You pay to work.
No, they don't actually do any work. And it's there's a lot of horse riding. There's fishing in the Snake River. So, you know, old country boy like me wants to wade out in the Snake River and see if I can't snatch a large.
I never understood why they call that the Snake River.
If you ever saw the trail that it makes through, because I've crossed
yeah.
it. You'll go east to west or east to west going like from South Dakota, all the way to Washington, you're going to cross the Snake River like 400 times because it just
kind of like the Leaf River in Mississippi. You cross it several yeah. times, but it's too cold for snakes. It's too
different snake. That's that Canadian moccasin.
Oh, okay, but
you can tell because it's got a toque on, and it's always talking about fur. Tim Hortons.
It's got fur on,
yeah.
and mittens.
Yeah. yeah, it's got a coffee cup from Tim Hortons. Tim Hortons.
Well, you know they always everywhere when I was working with Kenny Stabler and we were traveling the country mm-hmm. and getting his wines in those places. Mm-hmm. After about the third meeting, I guess we were Miami meeting with Southern Wine and
Florida
Spirits.
Or Ohio?
Florida.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we were down there. And, of course, it was like 20 people in the room, and nobody said a word because mm-hmm. they were listening and hanging on to all his stories. And mm-hmm. and they had an agenda, but, too, they wanted to – yeah, we did really since Oakland knocked us out of the playoffs that year. but it was great to listen to all his stories. But not one person ever asked him how he got the name Snake. Mm-hmm. And so one day, well, we're in the car leaving the meeting, going back to the airport. And I said, Ken, why did they call you the Snake? He said, my coach said I ran back and forth. Instead of up and down the field, I ran sideways, back and forth, yes. like a snake.
Yeah,
and I said,
it makes the way he scrambled, yeah.
Well, I mean, we had that term when I played football, too, but
–
no one ever called me Snake after that.
You know?
I said, dummy. The ball's that way, Forrest. Run that way, Forrest.
There was Kenny the Snake Slabler and Mike the Stone Bailey. Oh, man, you must have hit hard. Nope.
I'm here, run, Forrest. Okay.
He goes, I once was beaten in the 40-yard dash by a rock.
Okay. And, that's talking about snakes because you can eat snake.
You can eat snake. And Chris Sherrill, once again, your ears are burning.
I have eaten snake on this show.
On this show, you and I.
Yeah,
well, python, sure. No less.
Yeah, python.
It was not something to write home about.
Wasn't it jerky?
It was python jerky.
Yeah,
I've had rattlesnake and jerky.
I was going to tell you about jerky. Yeah. I got me a big old, real thick piece of London broil at home.
And I know where that's headed
for the
dehydration.
It's going to head into the freezer for about an hour,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm going to bring it out with my finely sharpened knife.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to cut it real thin.
Yeah, I just use my meat slicer.
And then I'm going to turn. I don't have a meat slicer. Yeah. I'm not uppity like you.
I caught it on clearance at Walmart for $30.
And then I'm going to put it in the oven
mm-hmm.
at the lowest temperature to go. I'll put it on
off.
Well, besides that.
Okay.
But put it in the oven about 9 o'clock tonight
mm-hmm.
and then get it out in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I've done it four. But
yeah. Mike Bailey makes very good beef jerky. I have been on the receiving end of your experiments with the – yeah. Didn't you have a dehydrator for a while?
No.
Okay. You just do it in the oven?
Mm-hmm.
You have it use the air filters and the two box fans like Alton Brown did and do it in your bathtub?
I missed that episode.
Yeah. That's what he – all he mm-hmm. did was he put all of this jerky – I guess, I don't know, parchment paper or something, put brand new air conditioner air filters on either side, put it all to a box fan and let the box fan dry it out and just set it in a bathtub for like 2 days. I know. It's
Where's the heat?
Didn't need it. He was using drying the way they did it in the old days. See, we use the heat now to speed the process up. Before, they used the sun and air and days. If you... prosciutto is a very good example of one of these curing methods.
Yeah.
There's a number of different hams in Europe, and it's the old world style of curing hams.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically pack a ton of salt on top of it, take it up in the mountains where there's no insects and no microbials, and hang it from the roof of a bar for about 2 years, and then pull it down and eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I've seen how, that. Right, that's how that is done. There's no cooking involved in that. I love prosciutto as well. Got to introduce Heather to it this week. I wrapped some pork loin, which, you know, pork loin tends to be very, well, usually it's dry because most people overcook it. That you should cook pork loin medium, you know, to retain the juices. You're not going to get sick from that.
Right,
but, but it helps to introduce a little fat to it. So I just took prosciutto, wrapped around it, seared it all the way around, finished it off in the oven on a low temperature so it's still nice and tender. She's not a big fan of prosciutto the traditional way, where, you know, like you and I, just gnaw on it, just right out of the package. She loved it once it had been crisped and the fat had been rendered a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that is a great way with fish, too. And it was the way every restaurant did their fish of the day in the 90s, wrapped in prosciutto, no matter what the fish was. And there are other cuts that you can use, like that capicola ham.
I use it in I just
lost. Well said, man. You should get a show where you talk for a living.
I like it in my bolognese.
Oh, prosciutto in the bolognese. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
You're supposed to, like, put it in a blender, and but I just chop it up real fine, sprinkle it in, and I love it wrapped around my vegetables.
Yeah, very good around asparagus.
Vegetables, yeah. And
But I love those old world styles like that, and there was this wonderful deli, gourmet shop kind of thing. It's called Dean and DeLuca's, and I got to go to a couple of them in Charlotte, and unfortunately they've fallen by the wayside now. And it's too bad because it was like walking in and you go to the cheese shop, and they've got 27 varieties of blue cheese, 47 cheddar, and you pick out what cheese you want and you buy it from the cheese merchant, and then you walk over to the salami shop and you make your deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll give you samples, and they had Iberico, which is the ham from Spain, the Serrano ham, that is – fed acorns its entire life.
Jeez.
And that is its lung diet. And that was good. Speck from France.
Hey, part squirrel?
Yeah, I wish. But you got to sample all of those. And then when that tradition came here, we in the South said, that's fantastic. But you know what it's missing? Smoke. And that is where our country ham comes from, which all of us are familiar with as being drier. It's not something you make a sandwich out of. It's something you fry up. Have with breakfast, red eye gravy, and that's pretty much the difference between the country hams that you will see at, say, Bentonville, Tennessee, which is a wonderful place up there, is smoke. The introduction, the smoke to the dry.
You know what gets my goat?
Goat is also a wonderful thing. So,
is people will buy already cured smoked hams, and then put them back in a smoker,
double smoked,
and. But they'll get the ones that are already pre-sliced.
Oh, yeah.
Around the bone, and it dries the meat out.
Way out, yeah.
Just go ahead and get a pure ham shank.
Mm-hmm.
Not even cooked yet. Mm-hmm. If you're going to cook it, do it right.
And you don't even have to smoke it. Remember, we did a roasted ham on Studio 10 one time, and it was delicious. Makes great sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
Phil, are we fixing to cut to a break, buddy?
Yep,
there we go. 343-0106. What is that, Mike?
That's our Callahan's Irish Social Club text in line. Ooh. Or you can call us, people.
Give us a holler.
Aren't you awake?
Yeah, and we'll address some of the texts we got because we can read them now. We just can't reply to them.
Yeah.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
I need to say, yeah, folks that aren't catching us on our Facebook Live, facebook.com/sipandchew, just missed Bill Finch and I having a discussion about Farkleberries during the commercial break. So
you talk,
that's what you missed by not doing the Facebook Live.
I heard something you said.
Farkleberry?
About reforesting your yard.
Yeah.
Does that mean you don't have a lawnmower?
No, I have a lawnmower. In fact, I just got through cutting. We had clear cut the hill in front of our house. We live on a ridge.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the street name. It used to be a pecan orchard there along this ridge.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Orchard Ridge. And we cleared a bunch of the pines that Phil was telling you about. And in fact, he would have been fascinating. The guy that came and cut the pines back in the late 70s said they were some of the tallest pine trees he'd ever seen in his life. Well over 100 feet tall.
Mm.
And we made buku money selling him those pine trees for, you know, to take over to Mississippi to turn into toilet paper and whatnot. Yeah,
a phone call.
Okay. And we cleared them so we could see my grandfather's lake across the road.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the decades since, that thing has forested so much that there's no inkling of the lake visible. So I don't want to see a road. So I'm just going to let the stuff on that ridge grow up. Okay. So I can't see the road anymore.
Honey, why don't you cut the grass? Honey, I'm gonna reforest the yard.
Okay, we got a call. We're going to it cold. We don't know who's here. So who's here and what do you want to talk about?
Hi, this is Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
I'm just wondering what wine bars and restaurants have just opened. That should get bigger every week. You know, with addresses, phone numbers, hours, who the managers and chefs are, limited menu, full, breakfast, lunch, dinner. These are just questions that I have that you all are like the mainstay of communication for these people, and I think that these things ought to be addressed every single week. Do interviews, you know, with some of the owners. What establishments have shut down? Those are all the questions I have. I'm really concerned. There's money.
You've missed the last 3 weeks then. You've missed the last three weeks. We had Panini Pete on talking about what he was doing with his four restaurants.
And now, he's closing all his restaurants today.
And that's one of the reasons why there's not a central location for this information, Nancy. Things are in such flux in our industry. They're from day to day, we don't know what's going on. So the best source we tell everyone, you don't have to have Facebook to go to Facebook and look at their page. And that's how everyone is communicating right now, is go to the Facebook page and they'll tell you, this is what we're doing today.
Yeah, it's been changing week by week.
And day by day.
Some places are open and then they close.
We can't even
keep up with it.
Yeah, there's a lot of disruption right now in the supply line for restaurants.
Yeah, I know that wine bars, Le Bouchon and Daphne's open, C'est Levin and Owa in Foley, they're only open a few days a week.
Yeah, but Owa is getting ready to reopen.
Oh, yes, next
things
week.
Things change daily.
Yeah.
What about Firehouse? Right. What about Firehouse down on Dawson?
I live by there, and I have not seen any activity.
And yet, if Sarah Lassiter is listening and you know, send us a message real quick.
Jessica, Jessica, and I've been meaning to call Margo and Andre to see, you know, what the deal is. But some of these places, I'm going to be honest with you, they cannot survive on 50% of occupancy.
Right.
They cannot do that.
Yeah, and that's why I say check each individual Facebook page. But I believe Mobile Downtown Alliance, Downtown Mobile Alliance, is tracking something. So you can give them a call, and it will just be the downtown area, so you won't know what's going on in Citronelle or Sims or Dauphin Island.
You guys are a main communicators. You get one of your staff, hopefully you have staff to some degree, to go out.
The only staff we have is an infection Mike had back in college.
I had a staff infection. You're on my cord.
Please. All right, I'm going to listen. Thank you.
All right,
thank you, Dave.
Thank you. I mean, you guys have a very good question.
Right.
Very comment.
Same things we want to know.
But we can't keep up with her.
Yeah, and it is a daily changing climate because you could go, all right, man, we're rolling again, 50% occupancy, we're getting enough to go, so mm-hmm. we can make it happen. You get ready to open, you're a sandwich shop, and oh no, Sunbeam has no bread.
Yeah.
You have no bread to make sandwiches on.
Yeah.
And, you know, we find that, and so we've been making our own breadsticks because our distributors can't get us enough mm-hmm. breadsticks because one industry that has not been hurt, it skyrocketed
mm-hmm.
and during this is pizza because it was already established as a to-go food.
Yeah.
It was not a hard transition for pizza or barbecue to make.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas people that do composed dishes where you have a steak and you have a side and
yeah.
this, it's harder for them to do. It's a whole lot more expensive
pizza,
to do.
Pizza, hamburgers, and barbecue are really right. easy to go. And they are a big staple in the to-go order business.
Yeah, and always – and that was easily established. And now, you know, people mm-hmm. are branching out. It's harder to – and if you call a restaurant, and you mm-hmm. get, you know, you got a family of five and you get five different entrees, you know, you pick off the menu. It's not going to be hot when it gets there, folks, and there's no way to make it hot. And yeah. nor should we. It when you get it, warm it up in the oven a little
bit. It's hot when it leaves the place.
Right. It if you want food to be just like it is when it's served to you at the restaurant, you go to the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And there are foods that translate well to go, and that's why we're saying pizza is great for that. Fried chicken is one of the few fried foods that's actually good to go
mm-hmm.
because it'll hold its Christmas. French fries, I mean, Wendy's are notorious for being cold the second they come out of the oil. But no matter who it is, I've never made more than a five-minute drive and the French fries still be good because yeah. it defies the laws of physics. You've got heat, you've got moisture, and you've got stuff that absorbs moisture.
You're supposed to eat French fries in your car.
Right.
While you're driving down the road, sticking your hand in the bag.
Right.
And
eat
grease and salt all over the steering wheel.
Yeah. So when you do your to-go orders – pastas, those do well because there's a lot of moisture and not a lot of Christmas involved with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so pastas are great to go. Pizzas and stuff like that. But you want a fried shrimp po' boy, it's not going to be toasty bread and crispy shrimp when you get there, more than likely, because right. it defies the laws of physics. It's not that we're doing anything wrong in the restaurant industry. You need to talk to Einstein and work it out with him. You know, there's just some things we can't do. And, but, yeah, how just much? Think through your to-goes like that. One minute.
Okay.
Un momento.
We're used to those little signs. Did Charlie take his signs with him?
Yeah. He's got them hidden away. But it's going to be an interesting summer.
Yeah.
I think.
Folks, we're about to wrap it up here. Let's pray today for our country. And yeah. We got a lot going
and
on.
And our Charlie.
And we're going to keep our show positive and fun, mm-hmm. and we're not going to get into politics and all yeah. that. Pray for Charlie. Pray for Charlie,
mm-hmm.
And pray for our country.
Yeah.
And we got a lot, too much hate going yeah. on in the world.
Yeah.
So.
And remember.
Support local, be local, buy local.
Hey, he remembers.
How much more time we got there?
We're wrapping it up. Yeah. Michael.
Tip. I've been over-tipping.
Yeah, and thank you for those of you who do, because there are a lot of people out there that are like, no, I'm not tipping.
Yeah.
I'm not tipping. I'm not tipping anything. Right. And you know what? You know, to each his own, there are other people out there making up for it, so thank you to those folks.
Yeah, yeah. Get out there, support local, like we said. And Stu.
Yes, sir.
Provolone.
Provolone, Michael.
Oh, you provolone.
You provolone.
Oh, you've provolone.
You provolone.
You provolone.
Yeah, good, but you better provolone.